Welcome into an episode, a bonus episode of the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah, and across from me, as always, Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at Wood on ESPN 1000. I say bonus episode, Jordan, because there are no fights this weekend. There is no UFC fight card. There is no fight night. There is no pay-per-view. There is nothing going on this weekend, which would have been great last weekend for the greatness of college football, the great weekend of college football that we saw. It'd be like, great, okay, don't put a card that weekend. And then this weekend, when it's like a light Saturday, you could put like a decent card like we had last week, some good fights last week.
And the absurdity, too, of the fight card last week being during the day. Like, even if it was, like, fine, just put it at night.
I mean, the main event still did, or the main card still didn't start until like 6, right?
Yeah, but it could have been like prelims at 6,
yeah.
You know, into the main card.
Yeah.
You know, let me get my Saturday night rolling and enjoy that a little bit, because I knew what I was going to anticipate with the Bears game on Sunday.
Well, I was getting updates on my phone. I was looking at my phone while I was locked into Notre Dame, Ohio State. So, yeah. Listen, if it was a pay-per-view, I'd be more locked in. We got one of these amazing fights that we're going
to
talk about
here.
Yeah,
there's a lot
up
to look forward to come the fall and into the winter. I mean, but the thing about it is now it's back-to-back weeks where it's just like complete bullshit. And the frustrating part about betting on mixed martial arts when you've got some buffoon scoring Shevchenko Grasso in the 5th round at 10-8, and then he has to, you know, go to like basically driving school, judging school by the Nevada State Athletic Commission, and then following that, you've got a freak injury. And those don't happen as often as the scoring question marks. But we were on not necessarily the Fazeev side, but we were on the over at 3.5. And, you know, look, around in, it looked like that was trending in a direction that would have made a positive night. But Fazeev, it turns out he tore his ACL.
Oh.
So it was a brutal injury, and he's going to be out on the shelf for quite some time. But that under cashes. And the other, you know, then the other thing too, we weren't on the side of it either way, but Cody Brundage just refusing to fight, basically, with the illegal strike. I loved it because I had under round and a half and fight doesn't go the distance.
There you go.
And because it was ruled a DQ and not a no contest, I mean, I was in good shape either way.
Yeah.
Because either I would have pushed, but I ended up winning.
There you go.
Go Cody Brundage.
Go Cody Brundage for doing
illegal
stuff. Yeah, exactly. So because there is no card this weekend, this is a good opportunity to kind of set up the rest of the year. There's 3 pay-per-views left this year. You've got UFC 294, 295, and 296, and they are absolutely loaded, especially UFC 296, that last card of the year. But next month, I guess technically in the next month, because it is still September. It is Wednesday, September 27th, for those of you scoring at home. Hopefully you've gone to judges or date scoring school, so you know that we're not making this up when we say it is September 27th here. But in about a month, we're going to go to Dubai. Not you and me, but the UFC will go to Dubai for UFC 294, where you're going to get a rematch between Islam Makhachev and Charles Oliveira. On top of that, you're going to get Hazmat Chimaev and Paulo Costa, which should be a tremendous fight as well. I will say the odds currently do not indicate that these fights will be good. However, I think that going through the rest of these fights, Islam Makhachev and Charles Oliveira might be the most entertaining fight the rest of the year. Like, the way that this, like, I know, like, John Jones against Stipe Miocic is going to be good, too. But, like, this one, people are looking forward to because it's a rematch. Oliveira fought already. He looked great in his non-title fight. And so now he's going to go back up and try to get his belt back from Islam Makhachev. This should be a great fight.
Yeah, that's the one caveat about leading into this rematch. It's the fact that this wasn't an immediate rematch. This isn't the first fight that Charles Oliveira is having after he got stopped and lost the championship. Or it was a vacant title, but lost the title belt because, you know, he was stripped for no reason against Islam Makhachev. And he just looked brilliant against Beneil Dariush. He performed like Charles Oliveira has been performing over the last couple of years, just steamrolling through the lightweight division and just getting finish after finish. He now extended the UFC record for most finishes, 20. He had another performance of the night against a guy that had been a killer and been on a run of his own in Beneil Dariush. So That factor alone has me super excited about this rematch, despite the fact that it basically is looking like kind of the same type of fight that's going to happen, the same dominance that we've come to expect with a guy like Islam Makhachev, a guy that's going to be able to dictate where the fight goes, get the fight to the ground, and a guy that has the advantage if the fight goes there. That was the question we asked the first time around is, all right, Islam Makhachev is going to work to get this fight to the ground because he doesn't want to mess around with the Muay Thai of Charles Oliveira. But when he does, Charles Oliveira has probably the best guard, if not in mixed martial arts, certainly in the lightweight division. That wasn't a problem for Islam Makhachev. Now, look, there is the narrative going around. Charles Oliveira has already started that he just, you know, wasn't right, didn't take the right mindset coming into the fight.
Okay.
Whatever. Yeah. I don't care. Look, you lost the fight. You got finished. And look, you're going to have to figure out the riddle that is Islam Makhachev. He should be the favorite. Makhachev should be the sizable favorite that he is.
Yeah.
Because, look, you know, the only time the dude's been challenged, quite frankly, is against Alexander Volkanovski.
Mm-hmm.
And people are saying Alexander Volkanovski is number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world. Mm-hmm. And he had to go up in weight and lost controversially.
Yeah.
And people are saying that there should be a rematch, that Volkanovski should get another opportunity. So I'm going to probably play Charles Oliveira just because I love the dude.
And +255, why not, man?
Why not? Why not? But I certainly believe also that, as we're accustomed to seeing, really with both of these guys, finishes for sure. You're looking at the under. One guy's going to want to dictate where the fight goes and get the finish. But it'll be entertaining nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. And then the other fight on that card that's going to be good despite the odds is Hazmat Chimaev against Paulo Costa. That should be another good one as well. But Chimaev is -400 right now.
Yeah, and look, he's undefeated. I mean, this will be, I guess, a legitimate test against a traditional, true 185er.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, Khamzat Chimaev has made a career to this point of hopping between welterweight and middleweight and not really figuring out what weight class he wants to be. And Paulo Costa is going to bring it to him. Now, Costa at times has not shown up. Look, there was rumors that he was drinking wine up until, you know, he fought Israel Adesanya for the championship. So it's very hard for me to not as confidently pick, you know, the underdog in Oliveira, say that I've got confidence in Paulo Costa. I haven't really seen any issues whatsoever with Chimaev outside of the, you know, the war that he had with Gilbert Burns where he had to go three rounds. And look, didn't get Gilbert Burns out of there. But quite frankly, as talented as Chimaev is, the fact that he's now figured out the right camp, he seems to be at the right weight class. And with a new champion at middleweight, how great would the lead-up to Strickland Chimaev be?
Oh,
that lead-up just alone would be worth the price of admission. So my recommendation probably early, and again, we will dissect this as we get closer to it. It'll be Chimaev inside the distance.
Yeah.
It'll be Chimaev maybe in the first round.
Wow.
Like, I mean, it's just questioning Paulo Costa. You know, he's got the looks, man. Dude has a $10,000 body for sure.
Yeah, but
doesn't show up at
fights. There's something about Makhachev. There's something about Chimaev. Like, these two guys, now that, like, Nurmagomedov is out, right? Like, these guys are like, they're going to win. Like, if they're on a card, they're going to win. Like, it's not, like, the -350, -400 is completely justified because regardless of the opponent, it just seems like they're just better than everyone.
Yeah, I haven't seen an example yet where Chimaev is going to worry me. I mean, you know, again, you know, Makhachev, you're probably true with that regard as well, unless he's fighting Volkanovski. I just only believe in Oliveira just because of just how brilliant he has been, and you cannot dismiss the run that he went on because, quite frankly, I don't know if Islam Makhachev would have gone on the same run or at least gone the same type of way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, running through Chandler and Gaethje and Dustin Poirier as Charles Oliveira did and did Dariush. Like, I can't confidently say that Makhachev would do the same.
Yeah. In about 20 days after that, about 4 weeks after that, or 3 weeks after that, the UFC will be heading to Madison Square Garden for Alex Pereira and Jiří Procházka. That fight is the lead up to the main event, the heavyweight bout. John Jones defending his title for the first time against former heavyweight champion Stipe Miocic. Let's talk about the Pereira and Procházka fight first before we get into the heavyweight one. This one, Pereira is -160 right now, so this fight's a little closer than the last ones that we talked about. And then, of course, John Jones is -440 right now to retain his belt in the fight against Miocic.
Yeah, I mean, well, first and foremost, just the storyline, you know, Alex Pereira trying to become a two-divisional champion in really a short amount of time in his mixed martial arts career, going for retribution, trying to, you know, protect the legacy of his, the guy that got him into the sport, his coach, his mentor, his father, so to speak, in Glover Teixeira, taking revenge against Jiří Procházka. But then Jiří Procházka, like, coming onto the scene, winning the championship, and then having to vacate the championship because of an injury. So how's he going to look, you know, this first time, you know, stepping back into the octagon against a killer in Pereira? And, like, the fact that Jiří Procházka kind of, like, makes himself work into fights by getting hit in the face, like, and like, gets into wars, you know, and is very unorthodox.
What did we say last week? He goes face first into fights.
Well, that was, I mean, he does at times, and like, look, and he's obviously, he has only, he has been knocked out in his career, like Muhammad Lal knocked him out several years ago, King Mo over in Japan. He's had a very successful career. He's obviously, you know, gone through, and he's got three UFC fights, three UFC finishes. So I think coming back again this early, I like Procházka as the underdog. I didn't think Pereira looked that great at light heavyweight. And Jan Błachowicz is going to make anybody do that, right, Abdallah? Yeah. But, like, I think this is another fight, like Oliveira Makhachev. We're going to get a finish in this fight. These two guys, stylistically, it's going to be a stand-up war until someone goes to sleep. So I think the under at 1.5 or 2.5 is certainly safe to play in this one, because there's not going to be, you know, any bones about it. And I don't think either one of these guys is going to look for a takedown.
Yeah, it should be a great fight. And what better way to have it than to have it at Madison Square Garden in front of, at MSG, with a sold out crowd leading up to a heavyweight fight? Like, that's how you want it, right? You want heavyweight fight, Madison Square Garden, like, sold out crowd, people going nuts. John Jones, Stipe Miocic, this should be, I mean, Jones is minus 440, but Miocic is a former champion. Like, he's one of the most decorated guys in the UFC.
People say he's the GOAT.
Yeah, like, this could you can't have enough hype for this fight taking place on November 11th. Like, it's going to be, despite the odds, it's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. I'm glad, because it is two of the best. I mean, Miocic kind of, like, semi-retired. He's 41. He's still donating his time as a volunteer firefighter in Cleveland, Ohio.
Perfect.
John Jones is going to smoke this guy.
No, I understand that. I know he is. But, like, the buildup is fun. The buildup is fun because of the history of Miocic.
But, and, like, but that's the thing, dude. I want my buildup to be shit talking and in each other's faces.
I
and
know.
Storylines from that standpoint.
This has got the makings of Heartbreak Kid kind of doing the "I'm sorry"
before he kicks
Ric Flair. Yeah, like, this is gonna be it. Like, do we see gloves from Miocic? Do we see the gloves come off at the end?
Then they come off.
Then why is he get back in the ring? Once the gloves come off, they need to stay.
Because John Jones won't fight Sergey Pavlovich.
Well, that's his
own
fault.
He won't fight a guy that's gonna like really try and hurt him.
That's his own fault then.
Yeah.
This is something I don't understand. If you have a contract with the UFC, why can't I make you fight someone? Why can't Dana White just be like, no, this is who you're fighting, or else we're taking the belt back?
Then he'll have to take the belt back.
I mean, okay.
That's what happens. Look, that's the problem with, like, rankings and these fights. I mean, look, are we going to talk about Paddy Pimblett fighting Tony Ferguson at some point?
We're
going to
talk about
ridiculous.
We're going to talk about a guy that hasn't fought in 2 years too. So, who wants a title shot? Who hasn't fought in 2 years?
Yeah.
When we get to UFC 296, but still, John Jones, you're going inside the distance round one, I assume.
Yeah, something like that. I just don't think we're going to beat around the bush. We're not going to waste any time. John Jones is going to get this fight where he wants
it. Put him in a parlay.
I mean, here's the thing. I think that the moment probably was a little bit bigger for Ciryl Gane. That's why he looked so good. Did John Jones? You know, outside of him being probably the greatest we've ever seen. Stipe Miocic, great boxing background. Good wrestling, you know, takedown defense. And obviously, he's been in there with the best of the best from a heavyweight standpoint. But I think John Jones should win this one pretty convincingly, and the odds indicate that.
All right. And then a little over a month later, about 5 weeks later, the last pay-per-view of the year, December 16th, UFC 296. This card is absolutely stacked. They are going out with a bang, or a good punch or whatever you want, knockout, whatever you want to call it. I don't care. You've got Shafkat Rachmanov at -410 against Wonderboy Thompson at +320. You've got Paddy Pimblett fighting Tony Ferguson, like you mentioned. You've got Leon Edwards against Colby Covington. Colby Covington having not fought in 2 years. Leon Edwards is a decent favorite, -136. This is going to be a very good card.
This fight's card is sick.
Yeah, this is amazing.
You and I have never watched a fight card together.
We might have to.
We might have to do it for this
college
one.
Football will be over by then. Like, we might have to
do it for this. We might have to do it for this one.
Ooh, watch party.
I love this fight card. Look, and I hope some, you know, maybe Colby doesn't fight and maybe someone else gets the call.
Bilal Muhammad?
Someone gets the call.
He's ready. I know he's ready.
Yeah, he's always ready, which is great. I think stylistically you have to pay attention to Colby Covington. I do believe that. I think that there are some opportunities that are going to exist. From a wrestling standpoint, I still kind of question Leon Edwards. I mean, look, Leon Edwards was losing that fight until he had the head kick heard around the world, which was impressive. And then he was uber impressive in the second fight against Kamaru Usman. But I think Colby Covington, with his style of fight, his pressure game is a little bit different than Kamaru Usman, and maybe the takedowns will be there. So I'll probably end up siding that fight. And again, as I'm playing it now, whoever's the underdog, because I could see both scenarios happening.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, the fan of me wants to just see Colby Covington get his face punched in.
I hope he does.
The fight I'm really excited about is Shafkat Rachmanov. I mean,
that's going
to
be
that
a good
dude
one.
Could not get a fight to save his life, and now he's got an opportunity to take on Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, who's been basically a staple of the welterweight division, former two-time title challenger, a guy that rarely gets finished and comes in with such an unorthodox style.
He fights a lot, too. Like, I feel like we mentioned him a lot. Yeah,
very active fighter as well. Getting up there in age at 41 years of age. But, you know, of all the fights that he's had, and look, he looked good against Kevin Holland in his last fight. He beat Bilal Muhammad prior to that in a controversial fight. You know, that was actually, you know, three years ago it'll be. Just about, but like, if Rachmanov can go in there and finish Stephen Wonderboy Thompson,
he's -410. He better.
Yeah. Well, no, but finish him. I mean, Rachmanov has all finishes.
Yeah.
Never been to the judges' scorecards and split evenly between finishes.
Yeah.
And I think this one would probably come in the form of a knockout, but Wonderboy's never been finished except once, and that was way back when Anthony Pettis jumped off the cage in a fight that he was losing and landed like kind of an awkward punch and caught Stephen Wonderboy Thompson by surprise. So that fight will be sick for sure. And then, look, Paddy Pimblett.
He's back.
Tony Ferguson.
He's back.
I mean, I'm happy. Look, I'm happy that he's on the card. But 6-fight win streak versus a 6-fight losing streak.
Yeah, they're doing this again where we've talked about with Pimblett fights. They're setting him up. Like, they're setting him up to win on a big card. And then just keep on moving him up until eventually, like, hopefully eventually someone challenges him.
Yeah, but I mean, this will be the biggest name, but this is another.
But again, he's -380. Like, he's almost -400.
Yeah.
He's a heavy, heavy favorite on a guy who's against a guy who's, like you said, lost 6 in a row. They're setting him up to get an easy win on his first fight back from injury. So that's fine. I mean, he's a big name. He's going to draw eyeballs. That's fine.
And Tony Ferguson's crazy. So, you know, he'll build up the fight properly and get people excited. And they'll probably promote the fact that at one point Tony Ferguson won 12 fights in a row and was considered one of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world, but that was ages ago, and that was pre-COVID. And, you know, I mean, he headlined, like, the biggest card, like, actually, like, at the onset of COVID.
I want to see what Paddy looks like right now.
Oh, he's got to weigh, like, 300 pounds.
Dude, he's got to be massive. He's been injured. He hasn't been able to train. And now he's got to fight in 3 months. Like, listen, the dude can cut weight in a day. That's not the issue.
That's not a problem.
That's not the issue. I just want, like, that's the story with him is, if you're not familiar, is like, yeah, he's been set up to win these fights and the UFC is clearly promoting him because he's very popular. But the fact that he can go like a month before and just eat whatever he wants to and then cut like 20, 30 pounds like it's nothing and then just instantly gain it all back and then just cut it all again. Like, it's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Hey, look, he's got a unique ability to do it. I don't think the UFC is using him properly. They did. They, like, did a tour of Chicago. I will remember him and, you know, Molly McCann were doing it. But, like, he should be, like, visiting, like, all these markets that the UFC goes to and just trying all the food. You know, I know, like, we've seen it with, it's not Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. It kind of is a little bit, you know, like that type of thing. But just do a UFC food tour with Paddy Pimblett.
Well, I mean, when he comes to the city, he's got to be in peak physical condition because he's fighting that night.
Right. And that, but he's in Vegas. Like, I'm saying, like,
That's fair.
Well, November's getting a little bit close. Yeah, whatever delicacies are in Abu Dhabi, let's go there and do that.
Get some falafel.
Exactly.
Get him some lamb.
Pound some of that stuff.
Yeah, get him some desserts, get him some canafe, all that kind of stuff. It's great. I'll take him on that tour. I'll go to that tour with him. And then that's it for the UFC pay-per-views for the rest of the year. You've got UFC 294 in Dubai on the 21st of October coming up soon. November 11th is that John Jones, Stipe Miocic fight in Madison Square Garden. That's UFC 295 on November 11th. And then Leon Edwards, Colby Covington, Paddy Pimblett, Tony Ferguson, Shavkat Rachmanov, and Stephen Thompson. UFC 296, December 16th. What we don't have are dates for Conor McGregor and Chandler to fight, even though they're doing The Ultimate Fighter, but they don't have a date set for their fight. And then also, who's Sugar Sean going to fight? Who's Sean O'Malley going to fight? Is it going to be a rematch? Is it going to be Marlon Vera? We don't have a date or opponent for that yet either.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think they're going to have another pay-per-view in 2 weeks. Sometimes they've had one on New Year's Eve, but you don't want to compete with the college football playoff. Isn't that night too?
I believe it is this year,
okay.
Yeah.
So here's what you do. You do it Super Bowl weekend. You do the Saturday before the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, the UFC has always put together a pretty major fight card. Why not just put the return of Conor McGregor and co-headline it, even though it's not a title fight, or, you know, the title fight would be in the main, the marquee, and then you co-headline it with Sean O'Malley against Marlon Vera, trying to, you know, get back the one loss that he had. And it was a legit loss, you punk. The one loss you had. It is, I'm like, man, I don't know how shit talk. Colby Covington, he listens to the podcast. Sean O'Malley listens to the podcast. It'd be great.
That'd be awesome. We know Bilal's a friend of the show. This year's playoff semifinals will be January 1st, that Monday.
Okay.
So they could do New Year's Eve on that Saturday.
Yeah.
But again, I doubt it from December 16th to
That's too quick of a turnaround, and you want to hype it up. The Super Bowl weekend, Conor McGregor returns.
Super Bowl weekend, it's a week later because of the extra game. Like, it's now a week later than it used to be because of the 17th. Game that everybody gets. So yeah, you could do that. I would love that. That'd be great. They should just follow the Super Bowl around. You know? Like, they should have their
Where's the Super Bowl this year?
It's Vegas.
Okay.
It's in Vegas.
Okay. I was gonna say, so like when it's in Detroit,
Detroit. Go do it in Detroit. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
In 7 or 8 years when it's in Arlington, come to Chicago and have it at the United Center.
Yeah. Imagine that same year with WrestleMania here too, or Final Four.
That'd be amazing. So yeah, they could do it New Year's Eve on Saturday, January 30th.
What's the one fight you are looking forward to
the most
of all those ones that we went through? We didn't even talk about Pantoja and Brandon Royval.
Oh, I mean, I'm
that
biased.
Fight card's
awesome. Biased. You know who it is. I'm biased. Leon Edwards and Colby Covington, because I want Colby to get his ass kicked. I want Colby to get his ass kicked. Like, no doubter, first round, just an ass kicking. Or he gets too scared and doesn't want to fight, and fakes
Bilal's,
an injury, something.
Got your
and then you hear Bilal's music, like it's WWE. You hear Bilal's
oh my
music.
God, it's
Bilal's music, he runs out like Ultimate Warrior and takes
it. That'd be so great if they could do that. Obviously they can't.
That would be awesome. But no, what's yours?
Wow, I think it's I think it's that Rachmanov, Stephen Wonderboy Thompson fight for sure.
Yeah.
And then I love Charles Oliveira. I've loved him forever, and I just like to see him perform. I think, again, he's just going up too big of a hill to climb against Makhachev, but that fight will be sick, too.
Yeah, that will be. He's Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at WoodOnESPN1000. I'm Adam Abdallah. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah, and we will be back next week with a UFC fight night to preview as they make their return for a fight night on next Saturday night. We'll be back next week for a preview with that. Thanks for listening.